water droplet on my eyeglasses when I was drinking water, so it's kind of weird to see it, right? See it. But everybody's good, right? All right, good to see the house of the Lord. We're blessed that you're here this morning. Let's welcome our first-time guest, amen, in the house, yeah. Second time, third time, we're faith that you can see, living faith, faith that you can see as we gather, and we're gathering right now, and thank God for the faith that's evident, amen. We have an alive church. I remember when I would go to that church and nobody said amen, and then they finally let us say something at the very end, like a prayer thing, and it was all good because I finally got to talk in church. Well, you can talk in church today, but with a message. Give me a good amen, yeah, by saying amen, and it keeps me going. The more that you say amen, I've noticed I preach faster. So faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go, amen, you're having too much fun. A couple of things I want to tell you about real quick on the announcements is water baptism is today, the first slide. And it would be you might say, well, you know, I didn't really come prepared. Well, we love you that much. I'll tell you all about that at the end of the service, about how we even prepared for that, just in case you'd like to be water baptized. Next week is Father's Day. Amen. All the fathers. Yes. Amen. All moms. Amen. Loving their dads, loving moms and all that. Yeah, good. Right. Yeah. We're going to have gifts for every dad. Amen. And we want prayer for you. We want to just make sure that you have that with you as a gift. So make sure that you bring your dad. If you're a dad, come out to this. And we want to make sure that we just bless you in a very, very special way next week. Is that good? Yes. Amen. And do you have your message notes? If you don't, raise your hand high, and we'll get you. Thank you, guys, on the back row. Anybody over here on this side? There's a cup. Hi, there she is. Amen. She's a blessing. Somebody else just on that side? You got it 100%? A couple of y'all? Good. Thank you, guys. Y'all are a blessing to me. And finally, the last thing I'd like to tell you about wasn't really on the announcement slide because I need to present it to you in this way, and you can show me that slide. It's Porn and Pasta night, second annual night that we do that. What we discovered last year is when we did this together, as a group of men, really, we realized that our ladies needed to be with us. And we thought, why? Well, because realizing that porn is also affecting our females just as much as it's affecting our males. And it's something that's kind of unique to this culture in these last decades. And what's changed all of that now, when it was my growing up era with this sort of thing, well, it was a magazine that I found and I would hide it away underneath the bed or something like that. Well, nowadays, everything is like on a cell phone, smartphone. Do y'all realize that? And you might say, I know some of y'all are looking and we're probably having all sorts of thoughts of why am I announcing this? You know, church, it's sacred. Why would you even bring in? Because I've had people like that come to me, especially men, and said, that's offensive to me. Well, I would tell you that you're really probably lying to me if you've not faced this as a man and you're not being real and transparent. Because every man has faced this, right? And church ought to be a place, you can go ahead, yeah. Church ought to be a place that we expose that, not in a bad way, but expose it enough that we get strength from it. And we get stronger from it, and we're set free from it. And it's always going to be lingering because we're on this earth. There's going to be billboards. We're going to be onslaughted even more with our phones. Just more technology, the more the enemy can work. But I want to bring you a night that you would, men and ladies, sons and daughters coming into this place on Monday. We'll get a count probably next week or so forth as the weeks come, and we'll make sure we have enough pasta. It'll be real delicious. But Craig Gross is the guy that's going to present it to us, and Craig Gross has the xxxchurch.com, a little church that he has, and he goes after this. This is his mission statement. He's a great communicator. This new message that he brings, what he does, it's so cool. I'll try to show you a clip next week of it. He does it in Times Square. So it's New York City, and all these people are all around him at night. And, you know, the guy just is such a great communicator. I admire him greatly, the way he communicates and how he was set free in his journey. So it'll be next week, and we'll see that together. And I just believe, you know, we just need to go up higher on this thing. And there's this elephant in the room sometimes. We don't want to talk about this, but this is what we should be doing, setting the captives free, amen? And walking away from this in total freedom. I'll actually tell you that night as I introduce it, how I, what my first experience with pornography was when I was about in fifth grade. That's all I'll tell you about it, and how it still is something that I have to battle and overcome because of what happened when I was about that age, okay, everybody? So we're all walking the same earth, but we need to move ahead. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. And so everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The announcements are over, amen. I heard a funny story, and a man went to the doctor because he's in excruciating pain. He just can't help. And he goes, "Doc, everywhere I touch, it hurts." So the doctor told him, he said, "Okay, touch with your own finger, touch your shoulder." And he touched his shoulder, and he went, "Ah!" He winced out. He said, "Okay, touch your forehead." And he touched his forehead. And still the same thing, a big headache came to him because he touched his forehead. And he said, "Okay, touch your knee." And he winced in pain. And he goes, "Okay, I'm going to examine you." And he did a thorough examination of him. And he said, "You know what? I've concluded something. This is why you have so much pain. No wonder you have pain everywhere. It's because you have a dislocated finger." And you laugh, and it's good. We're just doing the same thing, but just in a different way. And so without a purpose in your life, you're really going to be missing something. You're going to be empty on things. Without a God-given destiny and dream in your life that God's assigned to your life, then you're not going to be fulfilled in life. And I want to speak at that today because every heart in this room has something that's unique to them, that God has so uniquely gifted you and thumbprinted you on your life that you can only do. Someone else might be able to do it, but no one else will be able to do what you can do. Do you understand that? Because God's given you that gift. So we've introduced this on the Fearless series, and next week we'll even do Fearless Fathers. So it's a great series, and we'll conclude with that. But it's just to put that fear aside because, it's always going to be creeping out there. We put it aside, and we say, "I'm going after my destiny. I'm going after my purpose. Even though I have pain in my life, I'm still going after what God..." I'm all in. Okay, everybody? Yeah, today? So Psalms 46, 1, verse 1, the Message Bible, MSG Bible is good. It's that Chinese version, right, that we get on our food. Hong Kong, right? Amen. All right, man. I know where you work now. I'm coming to see you, bro. Amen. You better give me some extra egg rolls or something. Amen. South Florida is good. You're working there now, right? Amen. All right, it says, "We stand," somebody shout, "fearless, fearless. On the cliff's edge, doom, courageously, sea storm, earthquake," amen, "it's all shaken. Before the rush and roar of the oceans, the tremor shifts mountains." I mean, that's an earthquake, right? But look at this, the God of angel army, it protects us, right? The captain of captains, the Lord of lords, amen, he's it today. And I can find a place where I can really depend on something and be solid. The earth moves and is shaken. Political systems come and go. But God is ever strong and ever faithful and ever present. He will not fade away. Give me a good amen. Amen. So thank God. God the Father gives you a daily blueprint. And we look at blueprints in life and we say, "Well, this is supposed to go here, that stud. We're going to mark that here." And if you don't build it quite right, things won't extend the way they should or be marked the way that they should. And your life is the same way. You're given unique plans by God. God's built you, and he's supposed to be your builder, not anybody else. Opinions of man, so forth, come and go. But maybe a loved one even that meant well told you something that hurt you. But God, when God builds a person, he does it the right way. And so blueprints that happen in your life, when God studies and looks at it, he'll build you the right way and he'll communicate to you the right way. "This is the way I want you to go. Don't go that way. Pause that moment because I'm about to put a 2x4 right there. And so I want you built right." Thank God for the mission of God in your life. It's unique to you today. We're going to speak today about Abram. Abraham turns into his name. He's the father of our faith. No one else is given that name. He's a man of great faith. He's called the friend of God. No one was ever called that in the Bible except Abraham. So he comes to us with a lot. The Jewish people love this man. His gravesite in Hebron, to this day, it's like a sacred site to the Jewish people. They take a lot of... He's like our George Washington. Is that okay with there? That just he's that sort of man because he accomplished so much. And we're going to expose some faults of his because it's only right. He's in the Bible, right? And so he's filled with something, but that gives me hope. How about you? That he can be called a father of faith with so many things wrong in his life, and yet God would still choose to use him just like he uses us today. Right, everybody? And so I have a working definition. I hope it's right for all of our grammar teachers, English teachers, and so forth here because we have several teachers. But faith, and it's just extra notes because extra notes, real spiritual people at Living Faith take extra notes. If you're not spiritual and you don't love Jesus, then you're not going to take extra notes, okay? So look at your neighbor and make sure he's taking notes. Now, He's not taking us. Well, he doesn't love Jesus, or she doesn't know. Faith is the ability to trust God when there's no certainty. What's going to happen? And it has a yes face, and you're still trusting God. See, I've done it a little bit backwards where faith has been kind of dumbed down. And I'm going to trust you, God, but I sure am mad about it. I don't like this, but I'm going to go through it, and my face shows, my countenance. Have you ever walked into a room and everybody has a no face? I don't like those restaurants. How about you? I don't like that. I don't want a church like that. How about you? Yeah, certainly it can be done. Si se puede, amen? We can do this thing in the name of Jesus. And so I'm about that today. And so it's just like when I would tell my children when they were going to school and we were driving them and getting them up in the morning, I don't want to go to school today, Daddy. You got to go to school. No, well, why? Because you're supposed to go to school. You'll graduate and it'll be better for you. You don't know, but you got to get out of school. You got to get out. And so God would tell us the same way. I don't want to do that. I'm tired right now or this and that. But God would say, this is good for you. You got to do this because it's going to grow you. It's going to make you the man of God or the woman of God that you're supposed to be. And God leads you down the right way. Yes. Amen. And so God knows my destiny, even when the future is fearful today, even when things are not right and there's a question, God still knows my destiny. I'm so glad he's the keeper of that. If I keep it even, or if somebody else keeps it, it's not going to be done. But God keeps my destiny in check, and so does he do. All of us have thought this: God, do you really know what you're doing right now? Are you sure, God? Is this the way I should go? And that's where the increased level of faith comes in, where you would march on and keep going and soldier on with what God has for you. Abram here, he's promised early on that he'd be the father of many nations, or he'd be the father of a great nation. And so he's older and he needs encouragement. And the Lord told him at the very beginning of this passage, it's on the big screen, I don't have enough room in your notes to put it. He said, you know what, I'm going to be with you. Do not be afraid, Abram. He calls him Abram before he calls him Abraham. And he says, your reward is coming and it's going to be so great. And so he said, Genesis 15:2 on the screen, it says this, and Abram said, Sovereign Lord, that's a good thing to call God, right? Amen. He's still the boss, right? Amen. Let him rule and reign over our lives here. Yes. What can you give me since I remain childless? In other words, where's the promise, God? I'm getting older. And the one that is going to inherit my estate, is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so my servant, my head butler, Alfred, amen, no, Eliezer, so he's going to be the servant of my household. Well, he'll be my heir? Why, God? And then the word of the Lord came to him. And thank God, God knows exactly when to speak and how to speak to us. And I'm thankful he's speaking to Living Faith this morning, the people of Living Faith. This man will not be your heir. He will not, but you'll have a son. And he'll be your own flesh, and he will be your heir. And sometimes, beloved, this is dedicated to everybody that you don't see God right now. But God's still there because he's speaking through his word, and he's going to remind you of something. You're going to go back maybe to the same circumstances in your home, where you live, the workplace that bring you down sometimes. But remember God's word. Remember it as you look at it. Remember it as you have a devotion today, tomorrow, and you'll remind yourself that God is still speaking. And so he took him outside and he said, look up towards the sky. And I said, I want you to count all the stars if you can right now. And indeed, if you can count them, because they were limitless and he couldn't count them. And he was probably 1, 2, 3. And he got to 1 million and he couldn't even count past that, because he said, that's how your offspring's going to be. And he said, you just can't count it. That's how great your reward would be, Abraham, today. Yeah, that's how good God is today. He doesn't limit you today with his callings and his purpose. When God builds us, he builds our faith. Right, everybody, today? This was a defining moment in Abram's life today. All of us have a defining moment. It could have been when something hard happened to you. But most of the time, I just want to remind you of the loving words that God would tell you and affirm you. God spoke to me, and I know his plan is real for my life. And God is still speaking to those that will listen today. Right, everybody? And so thank God, your destiny will stretch you, and it's good for you. I'm going to give you three principal reminders about destiny today and God's destiny. And number one is this: God knows my destiny. Let's say it together. One is this: even if it takes a long time. My first pastor, his name was Luis Garcia, that was my real pastor. I hung out at different churches until I got rooted and grounded in a church. And, it wasn't that I was jumping churches. I just, I was young. I was like a teenager. And finally, I got my car and I started going to the church. My church was off Escuela Street, off Couples Road, and it was Victory Chapel. It was the first launch that Freddie Garcia did from the Victory Outreach, Victory Temple. And he launched this guy named Luis Garcia. His nickname was Raider because when he used to break into people's houses, he would leave a note, the Raider was here, because he would eat their food. He would raid the refrigerator. And that was his calling card. And so until they caught him and he got busted and he went to jail. So he's an ex-drug addict. And he goes to Freddie's home and he gets discipled. And he kicks the habit and Jesus comes and he becomes my pastor a couple of years later after he goes to Bible college. Well, he learned the principles of faith for the very first time. And he heard this teaching that they taught in Tently off 39th Street in the Victory Home there. He says, if you ask God for good things, he'll give them to you. God wants you to have a good car. God wants you to have a house. And he heard that teaching. He said, ask and God will give it to you. And so he had a prayer spot out in kind of the woods. Not that they have woods off 39th Street, but a little like clearing of the acre or whatever they had. And he made his own little prayer spot. And he said, Lord, I've always wanted a station wagon. And young people, a station wagon was what we call now minivans. But we had station wagons back then. And this was 1973. And he said, he learned the concept, ask me great things and I'll give them to you. And don't ask me for normal things. Ask me for limitless, great and mighty things. So he said, it was 1973. So he asked God for a big prayer. Here was a ex-drug addict without a job, going into the Victory Home with not finances. So he said, Lord, he wanted a 1973, the year of that year, a 1973 station wagon for his family. And that's a good thing. So he cried out, 73, Señor! 73, Lord! Señor means Lord, right, everybody? And he cried out like that in that little clearing of patch. And even if God takes a long time, he still remembers your prayer. Amen. God didn't answer him in 1973. He answered him in 1983 with the 73. You did it right, baby. Amen. Right? How many know God does? See, your prayers are that way. God never forgets a heart that prays. You might say, God's taken a long... waiting is godly. Tell two people waiting is godly. It is. Amen. Somebody didn't want to talk to the other person, so I made you do two people, right? We live in this now culture, and I preached the hound off of that thing about now culture and all that. So I'm not going to tell you, you've been here at Living Faith Church, but it is now we need it. But waiting is godly on God if you wait in the right attitude with a yes face and you go through. Abram said, God, I want a child while I'm young. And he has his ARP card and he's in a walker and he's saying, Lord, where? But the Bible, what I've noticed about God in my life, how about yours? God is notorious for taking a long time. And I know I can accelerate things. I've noticed when I have a yes attitude and a way of faith about me when I'm trusting God. I don't keep going around the mountain one more time. But Abram was at this point because he's human just like you and I. And he said, have you really promised that? Did you really promise me that? Because now look where I'm at today. And it took 2 years from that first scripture that we read to this scripture. 2 years have passed. And that ain't a whole bunch of time if you think about it on earth time. But for some of us, you've been waiting 2 years, maybe 3 years in this room for God to answer. Look how the Lord would deal with us about the long time issue. Genesis 16, 1 and 2 on the big screen. You have it in your handout today. Let's read it together on three. Come on, first service did good on this one. Let's see if we can match it or even go above above that today. On three, ready to go? Yeah? 1, 2, 3, go. Now Sarai, Abram's wife. But she kept an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And perhaps Abram agreed with Sarah, which he had said. And somebody put right there, it's complicated. I see these Facebook posts, or the status of somebody, it's complicated. And I go, man, there must be some messed up stuff going on there on that Facebook, right? But dangerous things will happen if you go out of the will of God and you go out of, and you put it on your timetable. Dangerous stuff happened to this man, and it's the repercussions are still in effect to this day. Because Hagar birthed a son called Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations now. And Isaac is the father of the Jewish nations of the. And so the conflict still continues to this day, and there's no peace. Do you understand that today? And so it's so dangerous to lose your faith in God. Well, I'm here at church, Pastor. It's so dangerous to show up in form and just be a seat and not be a soul that's receiving today, not taking something truthfully into God's word and letting it change your life today. Because these seats should be more than saved. They've been here all year long, here in every sermon, right? How about you today? And so if God's timing is perfect, it still is perfect. Our timing is not. And so let's get on the other side of God's timing, right, everybody? It's still so perfect. God has his way, and he still has his timing. Amen? Amen? The second thought is this. God knows my destiny, even if it seems... That's absurd, right, man? God's going to, sometimes we go that route. We go, Lord, God waits until Abram is 99 years old and Sarah is 89. And now they're called different names, Sarah and Abraham, and they have no reproductive ability now. And God's going to show up. Isn't that just like God? Because if you could do it, you would get credit. But God has to show up, and it's a miracle. It's something of faith today. And that's what God wants in all of our... How is that going to be done? How am I going to get to my ministry? How am I going to get to my call? That system's in place. God still has a way. Listen, we're all fighting something in this room, our barrier. Everybody, if you're living, that you're just saying, that's stopping me from going. But in what you have to believe with me is, as absurd as it seems, God's still going to move because he's God. He's in charge of it, right, everybody? And we just need to get on the other side of God. So in Genesis 18:10, it says, then the Lord said, surely I will return to you about this time next year. I'm coming next year. Amen. Sarah, your wife will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, and I'm so glad she was listening to her man pray, right, everybody? She wasn't being orejona, right? Amen. No, she was just listening, which was behind him. And Abram and Sarah were already old, well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out, you know, he doesn't even slap me on, you know, anyway, my master will be old. How will I have this pleasure? He couldn't move anymore, right? That's why it was a miracle. And then the Lord said to Abram, why, Sarah, why is she laughing? Will you not have a child now that I'm old? Question mark. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return. Again, God says, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. It's like he had to remind her, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the God? Is anything too hard for the Lord, everybody? And Sunday morning's good, but I want to give God just right now a moment that he could work in our lives, and just put this thing to a practicum that we can do this real quick right now, because there's something that you might be believing and it's absurd. Now, if I'm going to bet on the ponies at the dog track or the horse track, that's something else. That's against Proverbs. But if I ask God for a generational blessing upon my children, that's of God, right, everybody? If I ask God that they would be divorce proof in their marriage, if I ask for my marriage, that God would move in my marriage, that's a good thing to ask God. Those are things that God, hey, I'm right there on that, because that's virtuous, that's godly. There's some hope in that. And so let's give God a five second praise break right now. For 5 seconds, let's in advance, think of that thing that you need to respond to God to that's absurd right now. Come on. Thank you, Father. 5 seconds. 4, 3, come on, thank you, Lord. You're moving right now. 2, 1, 1.5, amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, that looks silly. No, it didn't. God responds to that, amen. God says, I have you covered right now. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And he just wants to see you move out and say, Lord, nothing is too difficult for you today. you can move in my life. This will get you blessed today, right, everybody? It'll put some gas in your tank today, amen? That premium stuff, amen? It's good. God knows my destiny. The third thought is this. Even if it doesn't seem right, this is where you say, God, you're wrong. And you think God is wrong because you thought it because you're human. I want you to keep your feelings in check today. And I had that moment when I was preparing this that I thought about marriage and the journey that it is. And, you know, when you're young and you're very much in love, you think, well, love's going to sustain our marriage. And that's a thought. But you know what? That's not false. That's pretty false if you think about it. Love can't sustain a marriage. Marriage sustains love. Because if we go by feeling, you think, you enter this covenant called marriage, and it keeps you married even when there's sickness. It keeps you married when there's sad times. It keeps you married when there's brokenness, right, everybody? Amen. And that should keep us in love, right, everybody? Right. And so, boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church. Your marriage can sustain your love today. Amen. 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 And so I'm thankful for that. And you may, well, I just don't like that. And about him, the way he keeps his dirty laundry, and I don't like the way she doesn't do this or that. No, marriage keeps you in love because it's a covenant before God. Are you glad you came to Living Faith this morning? Amen. Yeah. What do you do when you disagree with God? Because we're all going to have those moments. I question God all the time, and sometimes I don't do it right. And I leave the question out there, and I get upset, and I'm thinking things. But you question God in the right way is to come to the right conclusion, that God is still God, that God is still on the throne, and God is helping me through this, and he's giving me a trust level. Your destiny is much bigger than earth stuff and feelings and things of this earth. It marches on. God has this lineage that's long that we can't see. It's a generational blessing, and we just want God to do something tomorrow, and God's all about decades from now, that he's seen this church well established. If he tarries, that a clothing ministry began, but yeah, this one lady believed it. But even before that, Amy Simple McPherson thought of it in the 1920s, and a daughter came along decades later named Linda. And Linda said, I'm going to take up Amy's charge and I'm going to build a clothing ministry because the people of faith need it in this side of town. Do you understand that today? We walk in greatness today, we stand on shoulders today that are a lot higher than we ever thought we'd get. Right, everybody? Yeah, there's prayers that have gone on in your life that are just being answered right now because of how your grandma prayed and hoped in your life today. And they're seeing them in spite of all the harm that's come and all the pain that's come to you. God is still moving, amen? And he loves you today. And there's no plan that cannot stop him today, amen? So I can announce today, Hebrews 11:9. Don't miss out on what God has for you today. By faith, he still made his home in the promised land like a stranger. Now, if I'd gotten a promised land home, I would have built a mansion. How about you? Amen. And he kind of probably did. He probably had a nice tent. He said, nice home, and we've arrived. But he would say, no, we still haven't arrived today, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was in a foreign country, and he lived there in a tent. There was no permanent residence. 85:19, Braun Noel, and no. He did it, and Isaac got a hold of it, and Jacob got a hold of it. As messed up as they were, they still kept marching on because of their grandfather and father today. And with them, there were heirs with him, the same promise. Are y'all reading God's word with me? Yeah? Amen. For they were looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is... It wasn't Ray Ellison. It wasn't any of the other architects and builders of our time. It was God. And that's what... the right thing is that we would look forward to something that's way ahead of us and builds us today. Because if you can look ahead, God's going to take, if you fix your eyes on what you're supposed to be fixing your eyes, which is Jesus, this thing in the middle is going to be okay. Yeah, tomorrow's going to take care of itself if you keep looking ahead. Amen? I look around and I see what they got. I look around, I see what they, no, look ahead. Look at Jesus. Amen? Keep your eyes. That's what made Abraham great. He got knocked down, but he kept looking ahead. Right, everybody? There's this NFL runner that I liked, and he was back in my time when I was a little bit younger, and I would play football, and I could run faster and all that stuff. And not that I'm slow anymore, but I'm still good, amen. His name was Sherman Smith. And they called him Sherman, the Sherman Tank. He was like 6 foot four, but he was like 225, which is nowadays is kind of small, but he was solid muscle. He was the guy that invented the abs, amen, before they invented the, and so it was back in the time, but he had like the celebrity cult status in Seattle, and he helped them win a Super Bowl back in the day. And all of a sudden, with all of his notoriety in Seattle, they traded him to San Diego, the San Diego Chargers. And San Diego wasn't doing as well, the Chargers during that era. And so right when he got there, within a few short weeks of camp, training camp, he broke his leg or something happened to him tragically. And he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, why did you send me here to San Diego? Everything was going so well back where he was, his promised land." So when he's in rehab, he's encountering this guy that's the chief partier of the team. He's the guy that stays out late at night and has the girlfriends. And his name was Miles McPherson. And he witnesses to Miles because he sees the emptiness and how he's trying to fill it with other things besides God. And Miles becomes a convert to Jesus, receives Christ as Savior. And Miles begins to be used by God in extraordinary ways. God touches this man's life, and he fills up youth coliseums, and he speaks to young people, thousands of young people. He starts having these youth rallies come to Christ because of his testimony. And then he has this great church. He launches a church called the Rock Church of San Diego. And now it's a mega church, and he has campuses all over San Diego and has sons in the Lord that are reaching people. Miles has gone on because one man, God answered his prayer, "Lord, why am I here? What are you doing, God, in my life, in this brokenness right now?" And you know, God will answer your prayer too. It may never, maybe never be to get an NFL football player. Maybe it will, but God's going to answer your prayer like when it doesn't seem right, when that son doesn't seem right, when the bills don't look right. When the job doesn't look right, even when the church doesn't look right and the preacher doesn't look, God's going to answer your prayers. Amen. Aren't you glad? Yes. And as the way it seems is your prayers will go again long on before you even, maybe you'll leave the earth and God will keep answering your prayers today. Aren't you glad today? Amen. Amen. And so there's adversity and then that you trust God. There's trouble and you still ask God for help and you trust Him today. Amen. Finally, the fourth one is this, the principle of this is God knows my destiny even when I don't understand. And you've been waiting that for like 3 points, right? You finally got it today, right? We have an understanding, and our understanding is so limited. That's why God said, "My ways are higher and my ways are better than your ways," right? Amen. They're much bigger and higher, and you just don't understand. What if God would have answered your prayers years ago, some of you in this room? You would have been married to somebody else. I remember dating that girl and I thought, man, this is going to be my wife. Lord, answer me. Lord, please make her my wife. And you know what? I'm so glad God didn't answer me. Especially with Irma on the front row. And you know, I'm glad because, you know, Facebook came out. Like, and so you see these people like 25 years after high school. Thank you, Jesus, He didn't answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord. You had mercy on your servant. Hey, girls, I can pick on you too. You know, in high school, that guy you liked, he was a hunk. Now you've seen him and he's a chunk, right? The goal of God is when you're the most important, if He's the most important person in your life, the goal of God is that you would know Him more and more. I would know God more and more because you're my goal, you're my pursuit, you're my destiny. If I have you, I have my destiny. And so Abraham faces the greatest test of his whole life. He had taken these pop quizzes, he had taken them through the semester, but now he was in the final exam. I'm sure he did other things, but this was it. I talked to a teacher, I said, "Hey, tests are taken, why?" "Well, because I want my students to know everything that if they know everything I taught them through the semester, they're going to pass that final exam. But they got do they remember everything I taught them? Do they remember those principles? Do they remember?" And so God's the same way. He loves you. He's a father. And He teaches us things. And He wants to know if you're going to pass the test. Not that He's mean. Have they remembered my faithfulness? Had they remembered him when I got him out of that jam? Did they remember right now how I showed them mercy? Amen? And so Abram now is told by God, is commanded by God, take your son and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And I think that is so, like, I don't understand it. And I'm not here to try to explain it because we're not in Bible college. You can study that later if you have time. But I do know this. It goes against the commandments of God that were already, thou shalt not. Yeah. And so it's against a principle of God. And when he takes him to Mount Moriah, what's interesting, his son now is like 20 years old. So Isaac could outrun the old man. He's 20 years old. And he even asked his father, Isaac, now 20-something-year-old man, helping his father up Mount Moriah because they're going to sacrifice something. He goes, Father, where is the offering that we're going to sacrifice? And Abraham answers him this way, the Lord shall provide. Okay, Dad. When the submission comes, which is so beautiful, of Isaac, which isn't forced because I'm sure he could run away from his father. He's that young. He's tied down or brought down to the altar, and the knife is about to be hoisted because Abraham thought that if he even dies, he'll resurrect because my seed is going to go on. This is how I believe God. This is how much he trusted God at that moment. And before he goes full down into a stab mode, the Bible says an angel catches him, or God himself catches his hand and said, enough, there we go. And what's so beautiful about this passage is that God has a way of just looking ahead about what would happen, even at the immediate, because the sacrifice is still there, the altar of God is still there. You know what happens because of that? They look ahead and they said there's this ram in the thicket and it's caught, and that's the sacrifice. God has a way of providing something even when, what's going to happen now? We have to do this thing, and he provides that ram. Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, Mount Moriah. That was the altar that he built there. And God shall supply. God will provide all your needs today. Amen. Look at the scripture with me. I think it's our final one here, and we'll go ahead and kind of bring it in today in this moment. Hebrews 11:11. Daisy, I won't read the rest of them, but let's just read this one here, the one that's on the screen and it's in your handout. Let's read it together on three. Amen. Let's finish strong on three. One, two, three, go. By faith, barren Sarah, because she believed the one. Don't you love the Message Bible? It just puts it out there, right? Abraham, I'm glad you read that too. I didn't have to say those words in church. You said it out of your mouth. Amen, Nessa. Abraham's destiny outlived him, and so should yours. What are you doing so your destiny will outlive you? It's hard, but it's the walk of faith. And you showing up this morning to Living Faith helps, yes, but it really begins when you leave the parking lot and you're in the car. Amen. You may fight on the way home. That's okay. You got a God that forgives you. Amen. You may fight on Monday. You may call the boss a jerk. You may think the pastor stinks, but God still loves you, right, everybody? Yeah, and so I want God's hand to be established on my destiny today. How about you? Amen. I want it on my children. I want it on my grandchildren. Reward's coming and the joy comes today. Amen. God doesn't forget about his people today. God the Father is so into you as a light. I guess we'll bring it in today. See, the more that you know God, the more that you trust him. Because he won't fail you. And as simple as that is, see, when I received Christ as my Savior, I had to know God. I had to ask him, God, I want you as my Savior. But even as a Christian here, because many of you are God's people, as I look at you, I want to strengthen you right now. Stay connected, not really to Living Faith. That'll be a byproduct, but stay connected to the vine, which is God, Jesus. He's the vine. And if you stay connected to the vine, you'll be saved, of course, but you'll be fruitful, and you're meant to be fruitful. You're meant to be having the things in your life that are growing, that are prospering, that everything that you touch is blessed today. Amen. I can't catch a break. Yes, you can. Are you connected today? Get connected to the source, and you'll be fruitful in life today. And that's what I want for each of you today. That's my prayer today. Let's pray. We bow and pray to the Lord today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the specific plan that you have for each person in this room. Now, we heard your voice, Lord, and we don't want to go with deaf ears away. You've spoken clearly. I ask that you would give people courage now to follow you wherever you would lead them, Lord, today. Now, give us now that ability, Lord. Let the good work of God begin in people's lives. I pray for those that are doubting right now and have unbelief, Lord. You've touched many people that doubted in the Bible. You've touched many people that didn't believe you. And that includes my life right now as I pray. There's been times, Lord, I've needed you and I doubted you where you were at. But I thank you. You've always shown yourself that you've loved me. And so love on my brother right now. Love on my sister if they're in that challenge and they come into this place for hope. Love them, love them, love them, Lord. Love them in the name of Jesus. As you stayed in an attitude of prayer, is God the first in your life today? Or is he down the road, third, fourth, or just when you need him? Is he Sunday morning only? I want God to be first on Monday. How about you? You do too. And the best thing that you do is make that choice right now. Whether you're a person that's far away from God as a believer right now, and you've grown cold to the things of God, and I just press this in. There's not time to be a hypocrite. No judgment on you today. But realize right now, with just the Holy Spirit convicting you, which is a good thing, you're hypocritical on a lot of things, the way you're living your life. And Father, I pray in this moment that we would turn around from that. We would make the right choice of life in this room. You're far away from God. You need to say yes to Christ right now. If that's you, would you pray this simple prayer right now out loud? You can pray it out soft too in your heart, but confess it right now with your mouth and say these words. My Father in heaven, forgive me of my sins. Enter my heart today, Lord. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. I change my ways. I walk away from that thing that's killing me, that's short-cycling my destiny, that's pausing everything. I want to go ahead with the things of God. I want to go forward with what God has for my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now fill the people with your Holy Spirit again, Lord, over and over, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You love us, Lord. You bless us, Lord. You help us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Why don't you bless those people that prayed that maybe for the first time, maybe for the 99th time, amen. It's okay. I have a couple of people that are going to help me with the tithe and offering, I think. And if you look surprised, it's because you forgot. Amen. So, Victor, you're going to come up. Where's Vic? He was supposed to come up and help me. I'm going to have to testify for him. Amen. We'll go ahead. Okay, it's cool. Yeah, remember? Okay, good. On the big screen is a way that you can give. And I'm going to tell Victor really wanted to testify, and he'll come. He'll just stand and pray with me in a moment. He called me this week and he said, Pastor, I didn't have much last week, and when you made the call about giving, hey, come on up, man, give him a big hand, amen. Yeah. Can you use that microphone right there, sir? Thank you. You'll talk into this and. Amen. He'll tell it better than me. Amen. I'll just amen him. Amen. Go ahead.
Good morning. A lot of people know me. Some of them know, you know, about my past and everything. You know, God's delivered me from so much. You know, I know what it was like to sell drugs, use drugs, abuse drugs, and eventually, you know, be in prison by it. You know, I love what Pastor said about answered prayer, because I know my mother prayed for 20 plus years, you know, for me to be free. Last week, you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, I mean, I pay an exorbitant
amount of child support, and that's fine. And now I'm working two full-time jobs just to cover that, but it was a struggle. And last week I was thinking, how am I going to pay the rent? And Pastor was up here talking about fear, and as I was sitting there, God just instilled me with this peace, and it was just like, be faithful, and I tithe, and that fear just lifted off me. And then when that family was, that it was in need again, there was no question. It was just, give. It was like God was telling me, I got this, And they sang that song, "Whom Shall I Fear?" And that day, and my rent got paid, and it was pretty awesome because I got the text saying, "Hey, everything's taken care of." And as I'm driving home, I'm like a couple blocks from the house, and I'm listening to Caleb, and what do they play? "Whom Shall I Fear?" I mean, I'm in my car and I'm crying and I'm praising God because, I realized something. And there's a book by Max Lucado, which it's called Facing the Giants. Yeah. And there's a thing he says in there which says, sometimes giants of life come, but instead of focusing upon the giants, we should focus upon the giant killer. And I still struggle with that at times, but. If it's one thing I've learned since I've been here, I've been so blessed, by people here, the Cochran's, the Ziegler's, just the church as a whole, being able to serve, being able to go out to Haven for Hope. And if it's one thing that I've learned and being mentored by this man here as well, is that if you remain faithful, God is faithful. Even when I'm not, He remains faithful.
Amen. Thank you, sir. You want to pray? Amen. If you have your tithe in your hand and your offering in your hand, there's a way to give even by a smartphone. You can do that by text, as we do that during the week. And you have your check in your hand, your offering in your hand. Let's bless it. Amen. This is Miracle Ground. Thank God for the miracle house that we're in, miracle people that we're all around. So there's a miracle in the house. We pray.
Dear Lord, God of Jacob, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, we just come to you, Lord, and give you thanks and praise for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you bless the giver, Lord. Bless them in their finances. Bless them in their health, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that you are in control and that you will provide our needs, Lord, just what we need. Let it help us to grow in our faith. Bless these tithes and offering today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. One last thought before we stand and we'll dismiss ourselves in a song that the worship team will lead us out with. The water baptism service that we're having immediately after our service, we'll try to do it as quick as possible. Some of you may have come here, and part of being a disciple in the book of Acts was this. Listen to me. It's this. You would be immediately baptized. We've gotten away from that in the New Testament. And if you remember some of our O-line churches, back in the day, you would receive Christ and immediately you would get baptized. You would come back that night. We've gotten away from that. And I want to give you an opportunity today, those that have never been baptized publicly, that you would do that. And you say, well, how am I going to do it? I'm in my clothes that I wore are nice. Well, we love you enough that we anticipate because we fill up the tank. It takes a lot of water to fill up the tank right behind this, and we'll move that aside. And it's a beautiful baptism tank. Things get moved. We anticipated that we would be able to have people that could come in the last moment and still get baptized. So we have designer towels for you, a designer t-shirt that's extra long, and designer shorts. Aren't these guys? These are Jordache. Amen. These are nice, right? So you would be able to wear these in the baptism tank, dry yourself off, and then, you know, go back in your dry clothes. We have enough for many people if they want to respond that way, just in case. Don't let something like that stop you in the sense of not being obedient to what God. It's a point of obedience to be baptized. There's something that happens to every believer. The final thing is this, that when you, if you haven't been baptized, when you get baptized and you go under, and that you come up, that just changes your life. It's a public declaration that the old person is dead and the new person is rising. So if you have been baptized, awesome. You might want to stay to share that with your brothers and sisters that are going to be baptized here. And if not, amen, as we sing, amen, we'll be dismissed quietly. Kind of clear the sanctuary in a way just for the service to be a little bit more private. And I know we're going to be setting up, we're working, but it's alive, so thank God that this is a living room. That means it's living, right? So God bless you as you stand to your feet right now and we worship God together in conclusion. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You split the sea. God. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. Enemies were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand the sea. I am a child of God. Child of God, I am a child of God. I'm no longer saved. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I can
great day and be blessed. You are dismissed.